Chapter 2. The helping hands didn't stop swarming around him until Thomas stood up straight and had the dust brushed from his shirt and pants. Still dazzled by the light, he staggered a bit. He was consumed with curiosity, but still felt too ill to look closely at his surroundings. His new companion said nothing as he swiveled his head around, trying to take it all in. As he rotated in a slow circle, the other kids snickered and stared. Some reached out and poked him with a finger. There had to be at least 50 of them, their clothes smudged and sweaty as if they'd been hard at work, all shapes and sizes and races, their hair of varying lengths. Thomas suddenly felt dizzy, his eyes flickering between the boys and the bizarre place in which he'd found himself. They stood in a vast courtyard several times the size of a football field, surrounded by four enormous walls made of gray stone and covered in spots with thick ivy. The walls had to be hundreds of feet high and formed a perfect square around them, each side split in the exact middle by an opening as tall as the walls themselves that, from what Thomas could see, led to passages and long corridors beyond.
"Look at the green bean," a scratchy voice said.
Thomas couldn't see who it came from.
"Gonna break his shuck neck checking out the new digs."
Several boys laughed.
"Shut your hole, galley," a deeper voice responded.
Thomas focused back in on the dozens of strangers around him. He knew he must look out of it. He felt like he'd been drugged. A tall kid with blonde hair and a square jaw sniffed at him, his face devoid of expression. A short, pudgy boy fidgeted back and forth on his feet, looking up at Thomas with wide eyes. A thick, heavily muscled Asian kid folded his arms as he studied Thomas, his tight shirt sleeves rolled up to show off his biceps. A dark-skinned boy frowned, the same one who'd welcomed him. Countless others stared.
"Where am I?"
Thomas asked, surprised at hearing his voice for the first time in his salvageable memory. It didn't sound quite right, higher than he would have imagined.
"Nowhere good."
This came from the dark-skinned boy.
"Just slim yourself nice and calm."
"Which keep are he gonna get?"
someone shouted from the back of the crowd.
"I told you, shuckface,"
a shrill voice responded.
"He's a clunk, so he'll be a slopper, no doubt about it."
The kid giggled like he'd just said the funniest thing in history. Thomas once again felt a pressing ache of confusion, hearing so many words and phrases that didn't make sense. Shank, shuck, keeper, slopper. They popped out of the boy's mouth so naturally it seemed odd for him not to understand. It was as if his memory loss had stolen a chunk of his language. It was disorienting. Different emotions battled for dominance in his mind and heart. Confusion, curiosity, panic, fear. But laced through it all was the dark feeling of utter hopelessness, like the world had ended for him, had been wiped from his memory and replaced with something awful. He wanted to run and hide from these people. The scratchy-voiced boy was talking.
"Even do that much. Bet my liver on it."
Thomas still couldn't see his face.
"I said shut your holes," the dark boy yelled. "Keep yapping and next break will be cut in half."
This must be their leader, Thomas realized. Hating how everyone gawked at him, he concentrated on studying the place the boy had called the glade. The floor of the courtyard looked like it was made of huge stone blocks, many of them cracked and filled with long grasses and weeds. An odd, dilapidated wooden building near one of the corners of the square contrasted greatly with the gray stone. A few trees surrounded it, their roots like gnarled hands, digging into the rock floor for food. Another corner of the compound held gardens. From where he was standing, Thomas recognized corn, tomato plants, fruit trees. Across the courtyard from there stood wooden pens, holding sheep and pigs and cows. A large grove of trees filled the final corner. The closest ones looked crippled and close to dying. The sky overhead was cloudless and blue, but Thomas could see no sign of the sun despite the brightness of the day. The creeping shadows of the walls didn't reveal the time or direction. It could be early morning or late afternoon. As he breathed in deeply, trying to settle his nerves. A mixture of smells bombarded him. Freshly turned dirt, manure, pine, something rotten and something sweet. Somehow, he knew that these were the smells of a farm. Thomas looked back at his captors, feeling awkward but desperate to ask questions. Captors, he thought. Then, why did that word pop into my head? He scanned their faces, taking in each expression, judging them. One boy's eyes flared with hatred, stopped him cold. He looked so angry, Thomas wouldn't have been surprised if the kid came at him with a knife. He had black hair, and when they made eye contact, the boy shook his head and turned away, walking toward a greasy iron pole with a wooden bench next to it. A multicolored flag hung limply at the top of the pole, no wind to reveal its pattern. Shaken, Thomas stared at the boy's back until he turned and took a seat. Thomas quickly looked away. Suddenly, the leader of the group, perhaps he was 17, took a step forward. He wore normal clothes, black t-shirt, jeans, tennis shoes, a digital watch. For some reason, the clothing here surprised Thomas. It seemed like everyone should be wearing something more menacing, like prison garb. The dark-skinned boy had short-cropped hair, his face clean-shaven. But other than the permanent scowl, there was nothing scary about him at all.
"It's a long story, Shank," the boy said. "Piece by piece, you'll learn. I'll be taking you on the tour tomorrow. Till then, just don't break anything."
He held a hand out.
"Name's Albie."
He waited, clearly wanting to shake hands. Thomas refused. Some instinct took over his actions, and without saying anything, he turned away from Albie and walked to a nearby tree, where he plopped down to sit with his back against the rough bark. Panic swelled inside him once again, almost too much to bear. But he took a deep breath and forced himself to try to accept the situation.
"Just go with it," he thought. "You won't figure out anything if you give in to fear."
"Then tell me,"
Thomas called out, struggling to keep his voice even.
"Tell me the long story."
Albie glanced at the friends closest to him, rolling his eyes, and Thomas studied the crowd again. His original estimate had been close. There were probably 50 to 60 of them, ranging from boys in their mid-teens to young adults like Albie, who seemed to be one of the oldest. At that moment, Thomas realized with a sickening lurch that he had no idea how old he was. His heart sank at the thought. He was so lost, he didn't even know his own age.